Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's Ohana podcast with me, Lee, and Sam is here as well.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Sam from FPL Family.
Hello, Lee from FPL Family.
Hello, good morning.
It's very early.
Well, we decided to get up and do this early whilst the children are in with the grandparents. So we've got a little bit of time to record the official podcast, which you've just done.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing the Ohana podcast right now. What is there to say, Sam? Game week 29 is starting to take shape-ish, isn't
it? It's taken shape.
Or is it? Yes, I'd like to discuss what sort of shape it has taken. A pretty, in my case, irregular, crap-looking one. I'll be honest, it's like, looking
wow.
at me. So FA Cup results, first and foremost, because you guys, listen, we will talk about the upcoming game week and our teams and all that sort of stuff, but what's happened over the last sort of 24, 48 hours is the next round of the FA Cup. We were all kind of waiting for those results to land so that we knew what game week 29 looks like, so that we can then plan our chips accordingly over the next few weeks. So this
yes.
is all, we've all been kind of planning for today, really, because now we know kind of the shape of things to come over the next few weeks. And the long and short of it is that game week 29 looks sparse, doesn't it, to use a phrase, right?
Well, we got one additional fixture. And
yeah.
I think we were all hoping for slightly different things. Like, I really, really wanted Wolves to lose. No offence to any Wolves fans out there. It would have just made game week 29 much easier
yeah.
for me. I really wanted Chelsea to lose.
Chelsea as well, right?
I'm going to say that really quietly, because just in case my dad can hear me through
yeah.
the wall.
Chelsea losing and the Arsenal-Chelsea game being on would have solved a lot. It would have fundamentally changed chip strategies, which is why
yeah.
the greater FPL community goes, oh, you FPL expert, what? And you're like, yeah, you know, one Leeds goal
in
that last sort of 10
it's
minutes
massive.
Or so would have changed completely everyone's chip strategy for the season.
Mm. So we got Luton and Forest as the additional game that's been added in, which, I mean, it's sort of helped me a little bit because Alfie Doughty,
yeah.
You know, he's there now and he's going to be playing. But the rest
he's
of
there.
The he's there. But the rest of the game week is looking pretty, pretty difficult. I mean, I think.
Tell us the four games that are
game
week 29.
Burnley and Brentford, Luton and Forest, Fulham and Spurs, and West Ham and Aston Villa. And I think there's a couple of things to say, isn't there? So when I was recording the official pod 20 minutes ago with the guys, Kelly said, and she's right, she said, it's difficult because all of the players that you would really want, you know, your Man City assets, your Arsenal assets, your Liverpool assets, aren't there. And I agree with her in every way. Apart from that, we do have a couple of teams in there who this season have provided some really good FPL assets and are doing well in
yeah.
Aston Villa, in Spurs, and
Tony's in there
as
yeah.
well. And you know, so there is potential there. And I think you have to look at it in one of two ways, don't you? There's your immediate thought when there's only four games is, well, I'll free hit my team. I'll bring
it does
in.
Sort of feel like the game week the free hit chip was made for. Four, though, doesn't it? It feels kind of obvious.
It does, except that it's going to be the world's most template free hit team you've ever seen.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Because the reality is you're either going to go for Madison, Richarlison and Son in the Spurs midfield, or you're going to go for two of those with a defender.
It doesn't have to. I'd argue that, though. It doesn't have to be. Yes, there will be a template, no doubt about it. But if you fancy Spurs to keep a clean sheet at Fulham, you're poor over Udogie and Son or something like that, right? Or you,
But I think the point I'm making is there's probably five players at Spurs, poor over Udogie and the three midfielders I've just mentioned.
Yeah.
So you're going to pick three of those five. Aston Villa, I'd argue that it's tighter again because of their injuries at defence. So obviously you're going to have Ollie Watkins. You probably go for Leon Bailey or Douglas Luiz, one or the other, or both. And then maybe you have a Martinez or you have a defender. But really, you're there. West Ham, they've not been great. Is Bowen? Maybe you get somebody else, but probably it's just Bowen.
But again, you could go at Paqueta.
You can. But my point is that you're filling your team, but you basically, it's going to be a very template.
It will. Free hit 29 will look quite template.
Because it's going to
yes,
be three Spurs, three Villa, probably a couple of Brentford, probably a couple of West Ham.
Charlie Taylor.
Alfie Doughty, maybe an Amwani or somebody like that.
So with your team as it is right now, then how would you navigate
yeah.
29 without using the free hit in 29? What is your
because
strategy? Are you looking to sort of dead end and then wild card in 30-31? Is that still the plan?
I think so. it's tighter now. It's definitely tighter now. I think up until the Wednesday night FA Cup fixtures, I was still kind of, yeah, that's definitely my strat.
Yeah.
The FA Cup fixtures on Wednesday evening have moved it tighter because obviously I had to sell Porro before because of the injury. So I'm one less.
In the works, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm one less there. But I think it's still workable. I think with a hit or two, it's workable to get to 10 players. And if I'm playing with 10, how different are those 10? To what a free hit managers are going to do?
Yeah.
And I'm looking ahead to game week 34. And when I was prepping for the pod last night, I should have left my laptop out, actually. I spent a lot of time looking at what 34 might look like and the permutations of what happens if Wolves win, what happens if Manchester City win, what happens if United and Liverpool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And looking at that game week in 34, yes, there will be some blanking teams. There's also going to be a lot of our bigger clubs that probably have just a single week because probably you'd expect them to make it in the FA Cup and therefore maybe they get a game put in midweek after that. And then there's going to be a number of teams with fairly decent assets who probably double in that week. And I'm looking at that thinking, what an opportunity that is. What an opportunity if I can hold my free hit get through 29. Now, I felt the same about 26. When Jules last week on the pod was saying, oh, I'm free hitting in 26, and I was thinking, God, yeah, there's some really good opportunities here for a decent free hit team. And I didn't say this to him, but I don't think he went bold enough with his free hit. I think he really could have attacked that week last week. I think he played it a little safe.
Bowen, did he, for example?
No, he didn't. Yeah. And he went KDB, which I wouldn't have done on a free hit. I probably would have gone Foden. I probably would have had Bowen. I probably would have been a bit more different and a bit more ballsy.
I think I'd have gone Bowen, I probably would have just gone for it. Knowing that Pekatar was back, I'd have just gone, oh, free hit. Yeah. I'd stick Bowen in. Yeah.
I would have. I'd have been a bit more ballsy, I think. And I think that's the thing with a free hit is I look at it and go, game week 26, I'm covering. I'm covering what the dead-enders are doing. I'm not gaining any advantage over anyone dead-ending their team apart from maybe one or two players. That's it. And those players are literally just bodies in a team because I'm going to cover all the big ones. I'm going to have the Watkinses and the Spurs attack and all of that. So could I make that free hit chip really successful in 34? Could I really target the doublers?
Well, this is the carrot, isn't it? This is the carrot. This is the benefit of if you are going to take that strategy of dead ending and limping across the line in 29, frankly, when a lot of others are going to have... You're right, a fairly template-looking free hit in 29. But if you can limp across the line, the, you know, pot of gold at the end of that rainbow is, you know, having the optimal team or the best team for that massive double in 34. So,
it's a double. It's you can get rid of the blankers as well.
Yeah, you can
get rid of the blankers. You can target the best single game week fixtures, but also then go heavy on all of those doublers. And I just think that there's real potential. So for somebody like me who's chasing you, and who's chasing Jules, and I'm looking at that thinking, you've still got your free hit. I don't know when you're planning to play it, but you'll play it at some point. For me, chasing, I kind of assume that I could, you might play yours at the same time I do, so it's just differentiating the team. With him, he's used his. So there's a huge opportunity now for me if I can get it right and in the right week. And I don't think that 29 gives me that massive... I don't think it gives me a 20-30 point advantage over him.
No, 34 definitely feels like a big carrot if you can somehow squeak through 29. I mean, from my perspective, yeah, I mean, I saw those FA Cup results and I was like, right, 29 then. That's free hit 29. It's obvious, isn't it? But the more I look at my team and the more I look at what I've done over the last couple of weeks, and here's a really good example of how... the blanks and doubles can, you can take your eye off the ball with it, right? Mm. So here was my transfer for last game week, and we talk about how we got on last game week in just a second. But I was kind of flip-flopping between two defenders. I was always going to do Darwin to Solanke, which...
For the double in 28, which still makes sense as long as he's fit.
Still makes sense, as long as he's fit. Got this slight knee injury. I think it's a bit of a FA Cup injury, if you know what I mean. Always a bit injured and whatever. And they end up going out, so it probably needed him, right? So I'm still happy with holding Dom. So Darwin to Dom, I think, is okay. But then, as you know, I was going to get rid of Gusto for one of two defenders.
Yeah.
And this decision that I've just made last game week has been a real swing in my season because the two I was between was Ryan Aitnouri and Alex Moreno. And were it not for the fact that Villa play in 29, and I'm thinking ahead
to
I want players that play in 29 because I want a free hit in 34 and maximise it exactly the way you said, and the fact that Wolves don't play in 29, I went Alex Moreno, didn't I? Which is like a 10, 11 point swing. And a part of me goes, well, OK, you suck up the minus one for Moreno and you go, OK, well, he's got the game in 29, so I'm well set for that game week. But then you think, I've not played what's in front of me there, have I? I've not played the game week that's in front of me and it's cost me 10, 11 points.
But you can't play just the game week. And that's the skill of a really good FPL manager. Like, I appreciate what you're saying. Ain't Nori, yeah, he was a great return last week. But the reality is what you've done is you've, like, almost in doing that, you've made it so, because you've also still got Richarlison, so you've made it so that your team is almost set to play through 29. And not use the free hit, and therefore be able to aggressively attack the free hit later.
Yeah, which I get, but you know, you see managers like Jules Rotten, who's doing double Wolves defence on a free hit in 26 with Ain't Nori and Sarr, geez, I'm like 60 points behind this guy. So it is a weird one. I think the point to make at this stage, and I think this is kind of different to a lot of other seasons that we've had playing FPL, is that there doesn't seem to be what I would, or I guess what Twitter would call, a kind of optimum chip strategy. There doesn't seem to be a way to do it. Like in previous seasons, you'd go, okay, well, you do wild card here, bench boost the week after, free it in this set, and then triple captain here. I mean, apart from the Haaland triple cap, which I know it didn't really end up being much of a win, but...
God, if only it had been like the FA Cup match.
Oh my God, that game.
Particularly as a KDB owner as well. Four assists five and goals. Five goals.
What the hell?
Honestly.
What the hell, Erling?
So it was such peak trolling by Pep, wasn't it?
But I still look back at that and I think I've done it differently. I don't think so. Triple cap Haaland with two home games. You've got to do it, haven't you? You've got to do it. But I think the point to make is that it's a bit, as James from Planet FPL would say, it's a bit play it your way this season, isn't it? There isn't really a right or wrong way to do it, I don't think.
And I do think that actually what you have to do this week, and this is the pivot point, and I was saying this to Kelly after we finished recording the pod and Jules and Ian had gone, and I just said to her, look, you have to pick a strategy that works for your team and you have to then block out the noise, because what would be very easy is for you to go, right, I'm going to play through this week, and then you listen to the chatter of people free hitting and go, actually, maybe I'll do that, and then make a last minute call to do something different. But if you decide now, with game week 27, 28 and 29, you've got three free transfers, plus if you want to take a couple of hits, those hits could easily play off, because we're talking about hits for decent assets. I wouldn't take hits for, you know, nonsense. You're not taking a hit for an extra Luton defender, but you can take a hit for a Maddison or a Son or a Richarlison and be fairly confident, because it is Spurs after all, that's going to pay off. Or take a hit for a Douglas Luiz or a Leon Bailey and be fairly confident that that's going to be okay over the next few weeks. You have to pick your strategy and play it.
Yes, the only one to put a slight question mark over, I've seen these slight potential unconfirmed rumours of Richarlison being injured in training. Have you seen this?
Yeah, so there is some noise on that. And I think, actually, Postecoglou, the good thing about our mate Postecoglou is that he's very good. He's very good at being honest in press conferences. So I think we'll get a firm update on Richarlison and on Porro. So I'm not doing anything with my team until Ange Postecoglou speaks. And at the point where Ange says, this is how Spurs looks, that's the decision I'll make then about, is it Son? Is it Maddison? Is it Porro? Is it Udogie? Do I go back to Van de Ven?
If Porro's fit, would you consider getting him back in your team? Because I've considered that. I only got rid of him a little while ago. Yeah. But I'd consider bringing him back.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, this is partly me being swayed by other people and what other people are doing. But obviously, I'm very conscious that Jules has got Udogie. So going Udogie, I'm just covering that. I'm not giving myself an opportunity to exceed expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
So I would rather have Porro, because that gives me an opportunity over him. I don't really want to go for a Van de Ven, as much as I love him, or a Romero, because the upside isn't there in the same way that it is for the other two. But yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be afraid to go back there. I sold him for a reason at that point. And I've got a Stupinian who is doing my head in. So selling a Stupinian who doesn't play in 29 for a Spurs defender who does play in 29 and has attacking upside feels like the obvious thing to do.
There's a couple of players out there right now that I think are doing FPL managers' heads in. It's Stupinian and... Yeah, turns out that being invited round to the manager's house for pasta does not guarantee
doesn't guarantee you a start.
Doesn't
mean that the manager won't slag you off a couple of days later and say you're not doing good enough.
Totally.
So,
yeah. Totally. And there's a lot of FPL managers. Neither of us was one of them actually, but there are a lot of FPL managers that bought in Huang over the last couple of weeks as well. So
Neto now.
Looks like he's got potentially a hamstring injury unconfirmed, but he limped off holding his hamstring, didn't he, the other day in the cup? So that doesn't look particularly good either. Talk to me about a bit more before we just finish up then on game week 27, you know, in terms of playing it, what's ahead of us and our teams, your strategy of not free hitting in 29, limping through it. And I have to say, I'm leaning a bit more in that direction after the knee jerk. Oh, well, it's definitely a free hit. I'm sort of leaning a bit more towards limping through 29 and dead ending, which is a phrase I hate, but, you know, it is what it is. One of the downsides of doing that is that you're ignoring a few teams in 27 and 28, aren't you? So, for example, Liverpool. I've got no Liverpool at the minute.
Yeah, but I normally that would really scare me. But what team are you going to put out?
Well, so here's the rub, and this is the conversation we can have, is that there's teams that you go in to ignore, right? So let's pick them out. Bournemouth, for example, don't play in 29, but...
They have a double in 28, so we can't really fully ignore them.
So do you want anybody other than Solanke, though? Probably not. And they got the double. Most people have got Solanke. So there's a lot of ifs and buts there. Arsenal have got Sheffield United and then Brentford and then blank.
Are you already trebled up, though, aren't
you? I am
you?
Trebled, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I'm doubled up.
So I'm kind of in play there and will look to remove them, probably, after the Brentford game. They'll be... not priority transfers out until the blank, I would say.
Agreed.
And then probably...
priority transfers back in
wild card them in.
Yeah.
Well, they've got City after the blank, so possibly for that game, maybe for the Luton game in 31, I don't know. But that's, you know, that's a wild card question. Liverpool, you're right. Forest away is a nice-looking game. And then Man City at home. The Forest game, though, and I think you're spot on with this... as we've seen in the cup, in the two cup games that we've played since we last played in the Premier League, I don't know what sort of team he's going to put out. Dom Szoboszlai, maybe fit, maybe not. Salah, the same. Darwin, the same. Luis Diaz, I think, got a rest in the FA Cup, so I expect him to play. Jota out, Alisson out, Trent out. Van Dijk got 45 and Konate got 45 in the cup. So
I mean, Darwin looked all right when he was leaping over the gate to celebrate the World
Cup. What a guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He looked okay, didn't he? But again, I think, you know, if I'm Klopp, what do I do here? And this is the rub, isn't it? Because actually, look, let's be honest, I know it was a cup game, but it wasn't an easy game in the cup. You had Southampton, they were an all right side.
They could have got a couple of goals first half hour, I'll tell you.
It's not a walkover, really, right? So you've got to go and win that game. What does Klopp do here? Does Klopp go, okay, I'm going to just put anyone that's got half a leg available in the team for the Forest game? Or does he go, okay, the Forest game, let's put Darwin on the bench. Let's keep these players there. And if we need them, we bring them on. Because actually the game that follows is absolutely critical to Liverpool's season in terms of winning the league.
I think that's absolutely what he does. I think we will go with probably the best bench you've ever seen to Forest.
I think so.
And he will put out a first 11. I don't think it'll be quite what we put out in Southampton.
But it might be a League Cup style final team.
But there will be some rotation there, yeah. If you ask me now to predict the 11 for Forest, I'd find that very, very difficult, put it that way. Very difficult. Because
the week after is so critical, isn't it?
City at home is absolutely key. Yeah, it's absolutely key. Because then after that, we've got the blank, and then it's Brighton, it's Southampton. So anyway, I'm getting away from the point, as I thought I would, talking about Liverpool. The point is, a lot of the downsides of dead-ending into 29, I think, and maybe this is confirmation bias because we're both leaning that way, but I think you can make an argument against it, if that makes sense. I think you can almost make an argument for it, because a lot of the teams you'd be ignoring, you can say, oh, well, okay, well, I've either got them and I'll transfer out, or I'm not looking to move them in.
But also, I think, you know, like Arsenal, Manchester City, the teams that I would actually really fancy this week, Arsenal against Sheffield United, Man City against Manchester United, I'm invested already. I'm trebled
up. Yeah, you've
trebled
up.
So yeah. I'm not trebled up on Arsenal, actually, I'm doubled up, but I'm trebled up on Manchester City. So what I'm looking to do this week, I think, is just to do one transfer, do a Stupinian to a Spurs defender. That puts me in a position where I've got a Spurs defender in play ready for 29. I want a Spurs defender. I don't like the Crystal Palace attack, so hopefully there's a clean sheet there. But also hopefully there's some attacking returns there as well. So I just do that this week. Because actually, I look at my midfield five and I read them out when I was talking to the guys on the pod. So I've got, let me just bring them back up. So I've got De Bruyne against Manchester United. Mm. I think he gets the start this time around. I've got Gross against Fulham. I want to play him. I've got Saka, who I think I might captain this week against Sheffield United.
Don't mind that.
And I've got Neto, who's got Newcastle, who are the worst defence in the league right now. And then I've also got Palmer on my bench right now against Brentford.
What has happened to Newcastle? We could do a whole pod on Newcastle. Well, what is going on?
So I think, you know, when I'm looking at my midfield for this week, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I'd actually quite like to play Cole Palmer, but I've obviously got Solanke also against Burnley. If Solanke's not fit and available, Palmer will come on anyway. I do want to captain Saka. More on that in a minute. So my midfield five, there's nobody I'm prepared to sell this week.
No.
However, next week, I am happy to sell Neto. I'm happy to sell De Bruyne. And in being happy to sell those two, that means I can go for my Spurs midfielder at that point.
Yeah.
I can look to target in on some of the slightly more differentials. Maybe a Douglas Luiz or a Leon Bailey comes in at that point.
Yeah.
And I can take a hit in that week, knowing then that I've got them setting in play for game week 29. And then heading into game week 29, I can swap Solanke for Tony. And then that puts me in a place where I've got multiple playing players for game week 29. Mm. Maybe I take an extra hit that week as well for a Reguilón or somebody like that. Because I'm also happy to sell Ake at that point. It also means I can hold the players that I've got lots of value in and bench them. So Saka, I don't want to sell. Saliba, I've had for quite a while. I don't really want to sell him either. Haaland, obviously, they can just move to the bench for game week 29. Mm. And then post game week 29, as soon as that deadline passes and the game reloads, bang, wild cards in play and everyone decent comes back in and I get rid of the likes of Charlie Taylor at that point, who, long may you live, legend, but you'll have done your job for me, Charlie Taylor.
Just want to say as well, what a great pick Gross has been. You've had Gross for a few weeks and I think people are just starting to wake up to the fact that he's got a couple of nice fixtures. But even if you were going to act now in 27, you probably wouldn't because of the blank and then Liverpool. It's blank Liverpool in 29-30, isn't it? Yeah. But he's been fantastic, isn't he? And I think he's got like joint most assists in the league or something.
And a bonus point magnet, right?
So good. I'll give you props for that one. I totally missed that one, Gross. So when you brought him in, I was like, Pascal Gross.
Yeah, he was the one that annoyed me most about the wildcard, the free hit that Jules played, because he had Pascal Gross. And I was like, oh, he's been such a great differential for me and helping me just gain some rank back. And the same with you. So I think, you know, I'm looking at my team and I think I'll probably roll through 29 with 10 players, but I think the 10 I'm going to have are going to be the 10 that everyone gets on a free hit.
It's going to be pretty templates that you can limp through.
So I'm going to limp through it. I might not get a massive gain out of it. I might even get a red out of it, but that's okay.
Survive it, because on the other side, it's 34.
Because the flip of that is I can go into, I've got a wild card, then I hit in 30, and I go into 34, and I'm really targeting it.
Nice.
So yes, I might not have any Liverpool this week, but I would find it really difficult to call who that Liverpool team's going to be anyway.
Yeah.
And I feel like the other teams with good fixtures, I've kind of got.
Go on then, talk us through your team for, let's talk about the immediate then, game week 27. That was a bit kind of 2 or 3 week free hit chip strategy and where we're at after the FA Cup games, which I think it's a good topic for this pod. I think there's a lot of FPL managers thinking about that and talking about it this week. But let's go back to game week 27 then. What does your team look like?
Okay, so Martinez in goal versus Luton feels fine. I could play Areola against Everton, but I think I prefer the Martinez goalie this week. Then I've got Ake versus United, fine. Saliba versus Sheffield United, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Estupiñán, I think he's going to be Porro, but if he's not fit, he'll be Udogi. So he'll be going this week anyway. And then a midfield four currently of De Bruyne, Gross, Saka and Neto.
God, I like that midfield, you know.
Yeah, and then the front three of Haaland, Watkins and Solanke. But if Solanke doesn't make it, Palmer comes off the bench. So that feels like a decent option. And my bus team captain, as you can see, because you're looking at my phone, is on Haaland. But last week I talked myself out of the Saka captaincy and I really wanted to do it. And I wasn't brave enough. And this week, I feel like Monday night against Sheffield United, Arsenal playing frustrates the hell out of me, but playing so well, Saka the heart of everything. I know that Haaland last time round against United was epic, but I just feel like this is an opportunity to go for Saka.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to take it.
Nice. All right. Palmer on the bench.
I don't love it, but who would you bench? I mean, I'd like to bench Ake, but I can't play a front eight. So
I think it's all on
what the news is on Solanke. I'll be waiting for.
I think I'd play Palmer over Neto.
I got the worst.
I know.
The worst defence in the league.
But it's Palmer.
No.
They can get a pen.
They can, but Neto could score 8 against Newcastle the way they're defended.
All right, I like the team. I think I'd go Palmer over Neto, but I think that's it. That's a, I'm going to be very hypocritical because I've got Palmer benched. I've got Dubravka currently against Wolves, which doesn't feel great at all because just Newcastle just
did
free for.
Play Ariola against Everton instead?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, because Newcastle's so bad, aren't they? Home to Wolves, you
the
think
they get
something.
Worst defence in the league, since not cut up to clean sheets since game week 14.
You can't imagine, like...
14?
It can't just be Joe Linton, can it? Joe Linton being out of that team has made such a massive difference, hasn't it? Massive difference.
Yeah, well, sure, but that doesn't make them a terrible team. But the defence has just gone... Dan Burn's getting done every 5 minutes. It's awful at the moment defensively.
Yeah, they're all over the shop, aren't they? As a team, as a club, I think a little bit. Saliba and Gabriel, double Arsenal defence against Sheffield United.
I'm a bit jealous of that.
You can see that being a 4-5-1, though, can't you? Because they do it
just
all
notice
the time.
The roller coasters have started running. They're running their roller coasters outside the
window. Arsenal have got a habit of doing the old 4-5-1, haven't they, and conceding that last one. In game week 26, that really cost me. Actually, it really cost me. I got the Saka captaincy right, so I was really happy with that. But the goal that Arsenal conceded, the consolation against Newcastle, probably cost me like 8 or 9 points. So that was the difference in the end between a good week and a bad week. I've got then Alex Moreno in against Luton away. Again, another 50-50 call that cost me 10 points. Game week 26 for me, I look back at it, and what did I get in the end? I actually got 53 points. So listen, it's fine. But had I gone 8 Nouri rather than Moreno, had Newcastle not scored that last minute, I could have been a 70-pointer this game.
I know,
ridiculous,
and I get it, but I also think that I still look back at that and think, I remember how close you were between the 8 Nouri and the Moreno thing. And I think that actually moving forward, you've still done the right thing because you've put yourself in a position where you can try and play through 29 if you want.
I don't feel like it.
In 1 week, but moving forward, I think you're still all right.
Yeah, so Saliba, Gabriel and Moreno at the back. Foden, De Bruyne, Richarlison, Saka in midfield, and then Haaland, Solanke and Watkins up front. Palmer, Doughty and Estupiñán on my bench with Areola. So currently Estupiñán, third sub. I've had it with him, honestly. I mean, it's just such
a problem, isn't it?
Such a problem. So Palmer first bench, but let's see on Richarlison news, let's see on Solanke news. I've got question marks over those guys at the moment. Neither I want to transfer out. Obviously.
No, because Solanke's got the double.
Because Solanke's got double, Richarlison's got 29. So neither, I don't want to get rid of either. I want to keep both. So worst case is Palmer comes in for one of them. Bus captain currently Saka.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time.
Currently Saka.
I can't keep bottling these things. I've got to do one of them.
His last 5 games, let me read them out for you. 10 points, 9 points, 15 points, 15 points, 10 points.
And I should have done it last week.
Ridiculous.
That would have been a massive swing. I know actually it wouldn't have been that huge because our captain Tarnley got an assist.
But then Haaland at City, Manchester Derby, under the lights, on TV, just scored 5 goals.
I know that.
I'm really torn between these
two.
Hard. I can't pick it this week. I think it's really hard. Bus captain currently Saka, but I could see me switching that.
Yeah, my bus is on. Yeah, well, see, I'm the other way. My bus is Haaland now. I really think I'll switch it.
Well, there we go, guys. There's the pod. Good luck in game week 27. Let us know on Slack or on Twitter what your chip strategies are going to be. Does the FA Cup change it at all? Were you planning the free hit in 29? Are you now going to do what Sam's going to do by the sounds of it? And maybe what I'm going to do is limp along to 29 with a view to playing the free hit later in one of those bigger doubles. Game week 34 in particular on the horizon. It's not just a double, it's a blank double, isn't it? There's blanks, there's doubles. It's going to be very difficult
blanks,
to navigate.
Blanks, doubles and singles.
Going to be a tricky game week. Going to be tricky. Good luck in 27. We'll be back, won't we? We're getting on a flight in a couple of days coming back to the UK. So we'll be back in our usual...
I hope the rain stopped because it's been glorious out here.
Yeah, I don't know what it's been like in the UK, but the weather here has been absolutely beautiful, isn't it? So if it's raining in the UK, I'm not particularly looking forward to getting back to that. But I am looking forward to getting back into the swing of FPL and back in front of you guys on a live stream on Sunday night. So good luck in 27, Green Arrows, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye, guys.